cannot be right. I nuzzle my mate one last time before she climbs into the saddle. "Be careful," Kyle sends to me. "If there is danger to you or your mate, turn back. No one would blame you." "My thanks," I tell him gravely. "Hopefully this truce will be as he says." "The truce might be, but expect him to have other traps," Zora adds. "That one is sly, and constantly thinks of new ways to grow his power."
"As every Silurian does," Rast says. "It does not matter that he is here instead of our homeland. Treat him as you would any other Silurian threat."
"If you can destroy him, do it." Doc's thoughts are bloodthirsty and full of protective anger. His thoughts are on his mate and the young she carries in her belly. "When I search my memories, there is nothing but bitter rage and frustration. Let us start anew in this world with our mates at our side. Kill him, and let us be done with the old ways." "If it comes to that, I shall," I vow. "Nothing will threaten Gwen. Nothing." My mate wraps the reins around her hand and settles into her seat. Her waist and leg straps are on, and she puts a pair of glasses over her eyes to shield them from the wind.
"I'm ready."
The other females call out well wishes and good luck, and then I launch myself from the building and into the air, heading toward the human hive occupied by a Silurian. "Are you frightened?" I ask my mate, as we arrow toward a distant spot plumed by columns of smoke. It is not hard to find, because they have made no attempt to hide their presence. Claudia and Kyle's own nest is but a short flight away.
"Oddly enough, no."
Gwen's thoughts are calm and relaxed.
"I'm curious why he was calling for someone, but I can't imagine this is all just one big trap to lure more dragons. If it was, there are plenty without mates he can try to take over. It seems a big reach to try and pull one of us in. I have to think he wants to talk to someone. Either he has a secret he wants to tell, or he wants to bargain."
"Bargain?" I'm impressed by my mate's clever mind.
"Trade what he knows for something he thinks we have. Either that, or he's scared of something and is looking for assistance. No matter what it is, I don't think we're in immediate danger."
"Not enough danger for you to lick the end of your gun, I hope." Her thoughts are startled.
"Oh, Vaughn, you weren't supposed to hear that."
"But I did." I do not like how her thoughts grow sad, either. "Licking the gun is a bad thing?"
"Yes, it's a last resort, for if he does something bad to you. Claudia and Sasha are pregnant. Amy needs to take care of my fort. They're needed. Emma is protecting Zor, and I hope I'm not making the wrong choice by both of us going in. Maybe I should go alone."
"Never." Fierce anger blisters through my mind. "You will not go anywhere unless I am there to protect you."
"I figured you'd say that, which is why I didn't suggest it."
She reaches forward, touching the scales along the back of my neck ridge.
"The gun's for me because if he does something to you, I'm not going to live much longer. I'd rather take myself out than let them torture me."
I wheel about in the sky. I am turning around.
"Wait! No, Vaughn. That's only if it is something bad. It might not be. If I truly thought we were in danger, we wouldn't be going, I promise. Please, let's go to Fort Dallas and see what these assholes want. It has to be something important if this guy's wanting a truce, and him with so many playing pieces on the board."
I grumble low in my chest. "I do not like the thought of you being in danger." Gwen's thoughts brighten.
"Well, after this is done, you are welcome to try and get me pregnant, so we take ourselves out of the running of the next trip."
"It is a bargain," I agree swiftly. I tilt my wings, lazily turning in a circle and drifting along air currents until we face the human hive once more. I think of Gwen, her belly full of young like the other females, and the thought fills me with longing and pleasure. Do you truly want that? I ask her, sending a visual of my mate with our child in her arms. I picture a Draconi boy at her breast, small claws curled against her brown skin as he nurses. He would have my scales, of course, but would he have her hair? Or would he be a soft brown as she is? I like the thought.
A baby with you? I would, she tells me shyly. I've always loved the idea of a big family. Maybe it's not smart to bring kids into this world, but it's the only one we've got at the moment. I would love to be a mom, and I'd love to see you as a dad.
Then we shall deal with this Solorian, I tell her, and then we will build ourselves a nest, and I will fill you with my seed so often that you cannot help but get fat with young. Her laughter is torn away by the breeze, but I hear it anyhow.
41. Gwen. Fort Dallas reminds me a lot of Fort Tulsa. The barrier, made entirely of broken-down cars and trucks stacked atop of each other like massive building blocks, is new, but the squalor isn't. Even before we get there, I see trash lining the broken streets and carcasses of dead animals, kicked into muddy gutters and left to rot. I know what the inside will look like without even crossing through the gates, because this reminds me so much of Tulsa and all the things we didn't want to do in our new home. The smell of the fort hits me like a ton of bricks. Filth and excrement, mud and animals, and overall a horrible, rotten sort of smell that's like garbage times 1,000. Breathe through your mouth, Vaughn tells me. That is what I do when it is the worst. Is this how everything smells to you? I ask him, horrified. I've never noticed it before, and I wonder if I'm noticing now because we strive to keep Fort Shreveport so clean, or if I'm noticing it because I'm attached to Vaughn's senses. Either way, it's appalling. Your scent is the finest I have ever smelled. The others are not. Diplomatic enough? Should we move in closer? He circles lower, and as we approach, I can feel caution edging into Vaughn's mind. We near the fort, and I see several golden shapes perched atop the fort barrier at strategic locations. Those have to be the captive dragons. There are two more atop buildings in the fort. None of them are paying the slightest bit of attention to the fact that we're circling around, which is alarming in itself. Vaughn swoops in low, and one lifts its head, studying us as we fly past, and I can see the brilliant eyes are a dull, dead gray shade. People look up as we pass over, but there's no alarm that sounds. No one runs away in panic. They just stare up, shielding their eyes, and then go on about their day. This is so damn weird. They feel safe under the Solorian's claws, Vaughn sends, and his thoughts are tinged with disgust. Or they don't have any choice. Still, it's hard to disagree with him when I see groups of people wandering and laughing in the streets as if they're not surrounded by dragons. Dragons, for fuck's sake. The entire world's gone mad. Should we land outside the gate? I ask Vaughn. Shift to human form and then walk in?
I will not shift to two-legged form, he tells me, and that protective edge elaces his thoughts. I will remain in battle form and you will remain at my side. This is not something I will yield upon.
Okay. I guess if he wants to talk truce, he can meet us outside then. I eyeball the buildings. Most of them are hovels, but there are a few larger barracks, none of which are large enough for a dragon to fit into, though. We'll figure something out. I guess we land anywhere then.
Are you sure you wish to do this?
I'm not afraid. If we were going to be attacked, there's been ample opportunity so far. I eye the dragons sitting on their perches atop the wall as we circle lower. They just wait and wait, gazing out into the sky and staring at nothing. Only one watches us, one of the dragons sitting atop a building. I make eye contact with the possessed dragon and he lowers his head a moment later, then closes his eyes. Well, all right then. I don't think he's scared of us either. Has anyone or anything tried to touch your mind other than me?
No, I can feel nothing despite being surrounded by my own people. If their minds are in there, they are buried. His thoughts are full of distaste for the situation. All right, let's just land. Pick somewhere. Vaughn flies over the fort and picks out a spot on a low roof in the center of things and veers in. This time, people scream and scramble to get out of the way, obviously surprised that a dragon's about to land on their heads. I feel Vaughn's unholy pleasure at their terror and stroke his neck even as he comes to a thumping landing. The roof smells like melting tar in the heat, and it only adds to the stench. Poor Vaughn. He really hates this. I can go in without you, I offer.
I can fly off with you in my claws, and that can be the end of this,
he tells me. Okay, fine, fine. We do this together.
I am glad we agree.
I'm smiling at his sour tone despite the severity of our situation. Someday, you're going to let me protect you instead of the other way around.
Someday, perhaps. Not this day, though. Not with you so vulnerable.
He steps forward on the roof and then lowers his shoulders so I can dismount.
Get down and wait by my claws.
I do as he asks, and the moment my feet hit the roof, I'm immediately snatched up by dragon claws and yanked against Vaughn's breasts. Yikes! I wasn't going anywhere.
I know. Better safe than sorry.
I bite back my hysterical giggle. This isn't funny. In fact, the situation is utterly dire. It's only nerves that make me want to laugh like a loon. Only nerves. I stroke Vaughn's large claws. What do we do now?
If they wish to speak to us, they will let us know.
He leans down and nuzzles my hair.
You are sweaty.
It's hot as hell. Of course I'm sweaty. He lifts his other foreleg and carefully, almost daintily, strokes my hair back from my head in the same hard motion he always uses. The petting can wait, Vaughn. I'm all right.
I only wish to make sure that your eyes do not sweat.
This again. You've said that before and it still makes no sense to me.
Your eyes, they sweat. The stroking helps. I know this because when I pet you, the eye sweat goes away.
Oh my God. This man, Dragon, is the most adorable being known to mankind. How did I ever get so lucky to have you?
Do human males not stroke their mates?
Not nearly as often as they should.
Then they deserve to lose them.
I can't argue with that. We don't get a chance to talk about it more because the one dragon sits up alert. His eyes focus on us for a long moment, and then he blinks, slowly. They remain that same unfocused gray, and I'm uncertain what to do. Is he talking to you, Vaughn?
No. Shall I reach out?
I remember what the others said about how a Silurian can poison minds, just by touching minds with another who is infected. No, let's wait. If you need to talk to someone, talk to me. Don't touch their thoughts at all.
I will not. Yours are enough for me.
And he nuzzles my hair again. I reach up and caress his scaly snout, for a brief moment wishing we were anywhere but here, that we could run away from all of this and just hole up somewhere quiet and wait for the world to get back to normal. Of course, that will never happen, and it's silly to hope for such things. Even so, I can't help but want it.
Doc said he took his mate to a great shoreline in the south. It made her happy.
The ocean? I remember vacations with family, hot sand and salty waves and picking up shells on the beach. That sounds wonderful, I admit wistfully. Maybe we can do that after all this is over.
We can. I will go wherever you want. Do whatever you like. As long as we are together.
Me too. Even as I think it, I realize the pleasure in that thought comes from spending time with my dragon man, and not just the actual ocean itself. I don't need the sand or the waves, really. I just need Vaughn. He's my home now. I trace my fingers along his scales, and down below, a door opens in a nearby building. Three soldiers emerge in green khaki uniforms, and I remember Claudia mentioned that Fort Dallas had a militia. Looks like they're working with the devil. Figures. Two set up by the door, guns on shoulders, and one approaches the building we've alighted upon. He's sending out humans, not dragons.
Huh. I glance over at the other dragons nearby, but they might as well be statues. Not a one has twitched a muscle. It's so bizarre. Is there a reason he's not using them and opted to send humans? Something fishy is going on. He's not trying to get at you, is he? I ask Vaughn again.
No.
Hmm. I eye the dragons as the soldier steps forward and waits. Is it possible he's overextended himself?
The Silurians I knew could handle hundreds of Draconi warriors with the blink of an eye.
Yes, and this one only has a few despite the fact that the land's crawling with dragons. Makes me wonder if his mental powers are limited here, like yours are.
If they are, now is the time to kill him.
He's not wrong, but at the same time, I want to know what the big deal is that's so important he'd call on the enemy to come visit. This truce, what's it for and why? Let's wait and see. If things get out of control, you have my permission to eat as many people as you want. Vaughn snorts and lowers his muzzle until his nostrils are buried in my hair.
Remember how bad your people smell. I do not want to eat any of them.
He opens his mind a little and I'm hit with a wave of hot garbage and B.O.
Ugh, right.
I wonder how I smell to him. He says it smells good, but I wonder. In the next moment, a new scent invades my senses. Musky, sexy, and sweaty, but in a pleasant, exciting way. It's a scent that feels like pure pleasure to breathe in.
That is how you smell to me.
I practically squirm with delight. That's me that smells so good?
Yes. I could breathe in your scent forever.
For some reason, this is far more flattering than if you'd told me I was beautiful.
Hey!
The guard calls out from down below, and I refocus on him instead of my dragon and his flattery.
Azar told me to come out here and invite you two in to have a meal with him.
I can feel Vaughn tense, and I stroke his claws. It's okay. He's jockeying for the best position, that's all.
No thanks, I called down from the rooftop. If he wants to meet us, he can come out here and say hello instead of sending his lackeys.
The man scowls, his hand twitching on his gun. I smell smoke, and a moment later, Vaughn lowers his head, completely hiding me from the guy's sight, smoke pouring from his nose.
Insolent pup.
It's okay, I promise him again. He's swinging his dick to try and intimidate us. If they act like assholes, we'll leave. If they want to talk, they can come out here. We'll give them a chance to play nice before we head out.
I do not like the way he looks at you.
Vaughn's thoughts are dark, and I can feel the heaviness in them, like a storm is about to thunder in. Not a good sign. I know that any time Vaughn struggles with control, there are sensations of storms and darkness lit up by lightning, and I know how to step in and refocus him. He hasn't lost himself lately, but I usually step in before things can get tricky. Vaughn?
Let me rend him.
No, no rending. We're good, I promise. I soothe him with a touch, both physical and mental. Stay focused with me. This is part of the game. He wants us to come to him. We want him to come to us. It's a standoff, and we'll see who breaks first. I feel a ping of a scent from him, and he calms as the soldier turns and heads back inside. He gives the two guarding the door of the nearby building a look, and I notice that they're touching their guns more readily and their gaze is locked on us. Long minutes tick past in the heat, but nothing happens. I suspect someone's going to try something else soon. This Azar guy isn't going to want to look as if he's conceding anything to us.
It is not the Silurian way,
Vaughn agrees. There's something in his mental tone I don't like. His thoughts feel tight, distracted, like something's pressing on them and it's hard for him to focus. Vaughn?
I am here.
But he sounds more distant by the moment, more strained. I glance over at the door and the guards, but no one's coming out. Are you all right? I reach up and caress the massive jaw, trying to get him to focus on me.
I am.
All at once it hits me what's going on. Since we won't go in, this Silurian asshole is trying to force us to come to him. That's why Vaughn's thoughts are feeling more and more flattened by the moment. Stay with me. Let's talk about us. You want to go to the beach after this is done? We could set up a nest, work on getting me pregnant, just like you mentioned.
We do not need the sea for that.
I chuckled, trying to keep my thoughts light and my panic out. Hold on to me. Focus on me. We've got this. We're not going to let him win. I only hope I'm telling the truth. As soon as we're done here, you can have me alone. I'll strip down naked and you can lick every part of me that you want. When that doesn't elicit a response, I touch his jaw. What is your favorite part to lick, by the way? I get a close-up mental image of my folds slick with arousal, and a hot blush scorches through me. Gah.
You asked.
His thoughts are a little easier, but still strained. So I did. All right. Permission to lick with abandon once we're done with this mess. How's your brain holding up? I lightly stroke his scales, letting my thoughts get frisky. It's not the easiest shift of thought, considering I'm worried about him and it's not the time for sexy play. But I need to bring him back, to change his focus. And focus is easiest when it comes to sex.
I am trying.
I know. If you want, I can take the lead when we return. Since he's sending me mental images of sexy things, I send him one of me, pushing a hand down on his chest and playfully forcing him to the ground. In my mind, his cock is completely erect and the head is dripping with hot cum. Hot cum that no longer burns me with a touch, since I have his fires running through my veins. The mental Gwen shimmies down his body in a totally sexy way that I probably couldn't achieve without practice. And then mental Gwen's hair falls over Vaughn's thighs as she leans in and licks him from root to tip. His thoughts surge in my mind like a ripple. I have his attention fully now.
You are doing that when we get back.
Relieved laughter bubbles up in my throat. I am absolutely doing that. Are you with me? Is he still attacking you? Things are quiet.
It is just you and me. And you were lucky I am in battle form. If I was in my two-legged form, I would have already mounted you in front of all these staring humans.
We could give them quite a show, I agree, keeping a teasing note in my voice. But I thought you wanted to remain in dragon form to protect me.
I do, and it must come first.
But he sounds disappointed anyhow, even as he runs his muzzle over my hair one more time.
You are good at distracting.
I just know what you'll be the most interested in. I'm relieved, though. He's back with me again fully, the strain no longer pressing on his mind. Either Azar's given up, or he's no match for blowjob visuals. Who knew that would be the secret weapon against Silurian mind control? The thought's almost funny. Almost. We wait a bit longer and I settle in on Vaughn's foreleg, resting my butt against his scales as he keeps his head low, artfully shielding me from the others. I can see through his eyes that they're still watching us. But the rest of the fort has gone back to their daily lives. People go up and down the muddy street as if it's normal to live in a fort covered in dragons. And off in the distance, I see a couple of boys playing soccer. It's almost peaceful, except I can't shake the feeling of wrongness. This is not how it's supposed to work. That's not how any of this works. We're alone for maybe another hour. It's hard to tell without a watch, but the sun's moved in the sky, and I sip water from a bottle to cool my throat as we wait. I brought food, too, but I'm not going to break into that just yet. If it was me in that building, I'd make us sit on this roof all day long in the hot sun just to be a dick. I'm not entirely surprised when the doors open again a short time later, and a handful of guys come out, all human. No Azar. They don't look at us, but instead get to work setting up a gauzy white awning to block out the sun. Once it's established, more people appear with pretty wrought iron lawn furniture. A square table is placed, then two chairs, then two more chairs. Finally, new guys arrive with trays of food and drink. Even though I'm not all that hungry, I admit that what he's got on the table looks better than the dried-up ration bar in my bag. What is all this?
I think he is coming to us,
Vaughn suggests. I think he's right. It means our bluff worked. This Azar guy really, really must want to talk. Interesting. Really interesting. When Azar finally emerges out of the building, I'm not sure what I was expecting. Certainly not someone attractive. But he is. He's got a lean, hungry look to him, but everyone in the after does. His eyes are narrow and sharp, his skin pale, and he's covered head to toe in flowing robe-like garments that make me think of the desert sheiks, right down to the linen head wrap. He's tall and lean, and it's clear he's used to being obeyed, because his stance is one of utter arrogance and irritation as he storms out. His gaze impatiently flicks about looking for us. So I wave a greeting from my perch up on the building. His gaze fixes on me and his pale gold eyes remind me so much of Vaughn that I'm a little shocked at first. I expected evil to be different in some massive way, but he's not. He could be just another Draconi. I bet if I peeked under his head wrap, he'd be blonde under there just like Vaughn is. And it only adds to the feeling of being unnerved. A new scent is on the air. Faintly spicy, a bit like char. And it reminds me all too much of Vaughn, which I hate. A second later, he bares his teeth in a mockery of a smile. And I see that his teeth look unnatural. Square, but unnatural.
He tries to appear as humans do.
Vaughn sends to me, utter distaste in his thoughts. Oh, that's alarming. Liam did the same thing, but there's an air of menace to Azar that Liam completely lacks. The other humans study the Silurian warily, but it's still clear to me that he's in charge and rules with more than a little fear. Azar gazes up at us.
You are making this quite difficult, you know.
He gestures at the area.
Have I not made it quite clear that you are my guest?
Was that before or after you tried to take over Vaughn's mind just now? I keep my voice sweet as sugar. His eyes narrow, and I get the vague impression that he's amused.
What a fierce little thing you are.
His voice is thickly accented. His inflection's different from anything I've heard before. His English is good, though. Scary, scary good. I can see how he passes for human. Don't be gross. My man's standing right here. I pat Vaughn's claws, still wrapped tight around my waist.
Oh, I know he's there. I can smell your human stink all over him.
His nostrils flare delicately, and I get the impression of fine boned features compared to Vaughn's blunted, fierce beauty.
So do I have your word that you will try no trickery? No poison, no stunts, nothing that will force me to do anything unpleasant. I truly do wish for this to be a parley. We have much to speak of.
Now that's odd, too. He's the one standing there with a bunch of dudes with guns, and he's asking me to behave?
This is strange.
Vaughn adds.
Silurians do not make deals.
Do we trust it?
I will follow your lead, but I will never trust a Silurian. If he gives me the chance, I will destroy him.
Hatred tinges his thoughts, and I realize that just because Vaughn's been quiet, it doesn't mean he's calm. He's on the verge of cracking, the storm clouds roiling at the back of his mind. Focus on me, I tell him. Focus on my scent.
I am. I will not disappoint you.
You never do, I tell him warmly. Do you want to leave? Say the word and we can go now. Irony laces his emotions.
You think he will let you go now without insisting you hear what he has to say?
The big dragon looming over me snorts to punctuate the thought. All right, good point. Let me take the lead, though. He can't touch my mind, and if it becomes too much for you, let me know.
I am not shifting forms,
he warns me. I don't expect you to, Vaughn. You stay just as you are. With a low growl, he releases his claws from their tight grip on my waist. I don't move out of his hold just yet. Truce, like you said, I tell the Silurian. I won't try any bullshit if you don't.
Fair enough. Please, come sit.
He gestures at the table of refreshments under the airy, pretty tent down below. Vaughn? I ask. But I don't even have to. A split second later, the dragon scooped me up in his claws again, and then descends the side of the building with a heavy, solid thump that shakes several roofs nearby. The soldiers look alarmed, clutching their guns as Vaughn slinks forward. Well, about as much as a whale can slink through shallow water. He's not stealthy in the slightest, but he makes it very, very clear that he is not to be fucked with. A low warning growl rumbles in his chest, and everyone seems to shrink back except for the Silurian. He looks bored, flicking a bit of dirt off of one pale sleeve. Vaughn moves forward next to the table and gently sets me down by one of the chairs. The Silurian moves across from us, and he studies me for a moment.
You're wearing a gun.
Your men have guns, I point out.
If I send them away, will you put aside yours?
I blink. Sure. He turns and looks at the men.
Away, all of you. Sir, do you think your gun will protect me more than the dragons covering the city?
His lip curls with arrogant displeasure.
Be gone.
The men nod and shoulder their weapons.
Yes, sir.
The one that must be in charge looks at the others, gestures for them to leave, and is the last one to file out. 42. Gwen. Now it's just me and the Silurian, with Vaughn lurking behind me. We're outside, but the streets have gotten very quiet. And I wonder if people disappear when the Silurian appears, or if they were already scared off by the soldiers. Whatever it is, we're alone.
Better?
The Silurian asks, and then crosses his arms, waiting. I guess. I take my gun off my belt and then toss it down on a table between us. Happy? He gives a brief nod and then turns, glancing behind him. A moment later, the door opens. I stiffen, expecting it to be one of the guards, and that I'm caught in a trap. Instead, it's a woman. She's about my age, with perfect skin a few shades darker than mine, and a sweep of long, dark hair. She wears a pale yellow sundress that sets off her complexion, and her hair is pulled back in a high, twisted ponytail. She gives me a wary smile that seems tinged with apology. Azar puts his hand out and the woman puts hers in it and moves to his side.
She smells like him,
Vaughn tells me, and there is shock in his thoughts.
She is his mate. Sit, my dear. It is safe now,
he tells the woman. She does so, her movements delicate and elegant despite her clear discomfort at being here. I notice that Azar doesn't let go of her hand as he sits her down next to him, and then takes a seat himself, flourishing his robes as he does. I remain silent because I don't know what to make of this. Some of the pieces drop into place, though. He wanted me to take my gun off not for his safety, but for hers. A mate makes him vulnerable, I tell Vaughn. If we can get her, we can use her against him.
You would do such a thing?
My dragon sounds a little shocked.
Mates are sacred.
So are brains, and he had no problem taking over yours, I reply. But we'll wait and see how things go. I clasp my hands in my lap and study the two of them. So what's this about?
Business so quickly.
Azar reaches forward and plucks a bit of fruit from the bowl. Plums ripe with the heat of summer. They look gorgeous and refreshing in the heat. And as I watch, he takes a knife and cuts into one, a fat slice practically bursting with juices as he does. My mouth waters even as he looks up.
Ah, where are my manners? Do you wish for refreshments?
No, I say quickly.
Refusing hospitality? One would almost think you expect me to do you harm.
His smile is thin and cold. Azar, stop. The woman bites her lip and glances over at the Silurian. She doesn't have any reason to trust you. I'd think the exact same thing in her position. She takes one of the glasses, crystal, lovely, and unbroken, and rubs it down with a cloth, then pours water from the pitcher into it. The pitcher itself is covered with condensation, which means the liquid inside is cold, and my thirst grows almost unbearable at the sight. It's been so long since I had an actual cold drink. This guy is subtle with his torture, but effective. As I fantasize about the drink, the woman takes a sip, her gaze on me. Then she sets the glass down on the table and pushes it toward me. It's safe, I promise. I hesitate anyhow. She nods understanding, her lips curled into a tiny smile, before she picks up the glass again and drinks once more. She picks up a wedge of cheese from her plate, but before she can eat it, Azar offers her a slice of fruit. She hesitates, then leans over and takes it from him with her lips. He's feeding her. This is so not what I expected.
He is tending to his mate,
Vaughn agrees. So he's showing off then? But I don't know if that's the reason. She's here at his side, of course, but the burning looks he keeps shooting her don't seem to be the actions of someone who's just parading around a friend. He truly does look obsessed with her, and she looks uncomfortable.
This is Melina,
Azar says after a moment.
I am Azar.
We know who you are, I tell him, then add, Gwen Vaughn. His smile is unsettling.
Oh, I know Vaughn. Asshole.
Stop, Azar, they don't trust you. Melina murmurs to him. She seems unhappy with his reactions.
Of course they don't. You don't trust me either.
His smile is twisted with bitterness as he carves another wedge of plum off of the one he's holding and feeds it to her.
If we are waiting to trust one another, we will be here for months.
We just want to know what you're up to, I say.
We? You and your Draconi lover?
He arches an eyebrow.
Or do you speak for more?
I wonder if I should say anything. I hesitate.
Oh, come now. I know there are more of you bonding with Draconi males. I have run into a few myself. They're certainly easier to tame that way.
Is that why you and Melina are together, then? So you can be tamed? Melina chugs water from her cup, glancing away. Azar's nostrils flare, and both of them look hugely uncomfortable. I realize a moment later that Melina doesn't want to be here. Or rather, if she does, she's not wanting me to know that. Is she ashamed of hooking up with the enemy? Doing it for the common good? Maybe that's it. She's sacrificing herself for the others in Fort Dallas. Maybe she's trapped in an entirely different way and is with Azar because someone has to keep him under control. I feel a wave of sympathy for her and give her an understanding smile. Sorry, that was crappy of me.
It was a magnificent deflection, however,
Azar acknowledges, putting down the fruit and wiping his hands with a napkin.
So, don't tell me how many of you there are then. I can guess. Enough of you that you needed a committee to send a representative, and few enough that you can't take my fort on your own.
He looks over at Melina and she stares out at her surroundings, ignoring him. He turns back to me.
You're not one of the locals, though, are you? I remember your Draconi friend's mind. He's a strong one.
I feel a tremor of apprehension. Is he going to keep lobbing questions at me until I break down and answer? Just tell me what you're up to and we can finish this meeting.
Do not let him rattle you, my mate. He has not probed again. He will not touch my thoughts while you are here and I am with you.
I feel his big body shift behind me, his head lower so he can watch the Silurian with an angry, intent gaze.
Let him say the wrong word, and I will tear him limb from limb.
And then what? I ask, what happens to the dragons he's holding hostage?
They will be free.
Free and right over the city. It'll be a bloodbath and we're inside it. For now we have to wait, love. It's a chess game between us and we just need to think one move ahead. I send him a visual of a chessboard so we can understand what I'm referring to.
They might be better off dead than under his control,
Vaughn says stubbornly. Yes, well, I don't want to be the one that makes that distinction for them. I won't be.
What I am up to,
Azar echoes in that same flat voice.
Is that what you two are discussing so intently right now?
He arches an eyebrow at me, a very human characteristic that makes my hackles rise. I force a smile to my lips. Are we here to snipe at each other? Or are we going to discuss why you felt it was so urgent to call a truce? Let's quit dancing around it and just tell them, Azar, Melina says. They're not comfortable here, and I don't blame them. I know you wanted to make this a big thing, but let's skip the food and drink and niceties and get down to brass tacks. Just tell them, please. He studies Melina for a long moment, and then his jaw tightens.
Fine.
His gaze flicks back to where I sit with Vaughn directly behind me.
You ask why I seek a truce. It is because we will survive what is coming if we all work together. An army is stronger than a series of individuals. That is why.
I put up a hand. First of all, you already have an army here, and that's something we need to talk about. You can't just snag as many dragons, draconi, as you want.
Can't I? I am Salorian. They are born to serve me.
That's not how it works in this world. People can't own other people.
Really?
He sneers.
Tell that to all the pooling, sniveling humans who are happy to live under my thumb in exchange for safety. Tell my men who hand out food that these people do not belong fully to me. They would rather sleep as slaves than take a risk on their freedom.
Just because you can do it doesn't make it right. Melina looks away, gazing at nothing. Her mouth is a thin line, and I can tell this is probably a conversation she's had with Azar many times before, all to no avail.
How else would you propose I defend myself?
Azar narrows his eyes at me. Defend yourself? From what? No one's attacking you. No one's ever attacked you first. I spread my hands wide. If you've ever been harassed or attacked, it's because it's retaliation. People are just trying to survive. That includes your people, too. The Draconi are lost.
The Draconi are not my people.
Azar says in a cold, cold voice. He gets to his feet, chair scraping behind him. Please, Melina says, jumping up and putting her hands on his arm. Wait, please. To my surprise, he actually waits. The look he gives Melina is full of longing, and my heart squeezes despite myself. This is a man that's miserable, I realize. He's desperately in love with Melina, and I don't think it's returned. You said you would try, she tells him in a soft voice. It can't go on like this, please. And she rubs her thumb on his arm. His eyes flicker, and then he straightens his robes.
Fine.
He puts his hand out and remains utterly still until Melina puts her hand back in his. Then he sits down once more. Melina sits too. The look she gives me is pleading. I know you don't agree with his methods. I don't either. But please listen to what he has to say, all right? It really is important. Vaughn? I automatically reach for my dragon's thoughts because we're in this together.
We are here. We might as well listen.
His breath woofs on my back.
I have to admit I am finding it amusing to see a Salorian brought low by a mate. They do not normally take them.
Then how do they have children? Actually, you know what? I don't even want to know. Because now I'm picturing Azar having sex and I don't want to. I shake my head as if to clear it. There is a threat, Melina reassures me. She glances between me and Azar repeatedly. It sounds hard to believe, but years ago if you would have asked me if the world was going to be destroyed by dragons, I would have laughed at you. So just hear us out, all right? I don't miss that us in there, and neither does Azar. He gives her another fiercely possessive look, and his hand tightens on hers.
I prefer to keep a low profile in this new world of yours,
he says, speaking to me once more.
I have read many of your books and studied many of your films. In all of this, I have learned that mankind does not appreciate intelligence or power.
He gives me a sardonic look of amusement.
They value pretty things instead. So if I am to survive, it is far wiser for me to live quietly. The Draconi I have captured are a necessity.
Necessity, my ass. Because? He glances at Melina, then continues.
Salorians are very sensitive to other minds. We can control and touch other consciousnesses from a very long distance. I believe you know this to be true, seeing as how your friend and I...
He nods at Vaughn,
first met when you were some ways away from here. I have touched his mind, and I have touched others.
Others? I prompt. Other Draconi, other Silurians?
Others through the gate.
His face looks grave, without the mocking arrogance, and that sends a chill through my spine. He gestures at the sky, blue and intense with the heat of the cloudless day.
When your foolish people ripped a hole in the sky, they tore us from our world into yours. Well, it seems that whatever door is there is still open, and we are not the only ones aware of it.
I blink at him, trying to take this in. So what, more people from other worlds are coming through?
Ah, humans. You think whatever comes through will be human? Will think like you do? So very arrogant.
He shakes his head and falls silent. Melina leans forward, her gaze intent on me. Azar has dreams. He wakes up from them speaking strange gibberish tongues, and they will not let him rest. Whatever it is that's trying to come through, it's not human. Not at all. So, aliens. She makes an exasperated sound. You think I brought you here because he's afraid of little green men?
So she brought us here. Interesting.
Vaughn's curiosity pings. I caught that too, I tell Vaughn. I still haven't exactly figured out why you have brought us here. Because something big is coming through that gate. It's a massive open wound to other dimensions, and sooner or later something's going to get curious enough to come through. If it's what is plaguing Azar at night, we're all in trouble. Melina's expression is intense. This is no longer a you and me problem or a Fort Dallas problem. This is an everyone problem. Azar touches his pale, pale brow, and I notice for the first time that there are shadows under his colorless eyes.
I can extend my powers a fair distance. More if there are friendly minds to latch onto, or minds I have touched in the past. Somewhere back in our world, your friend was once invaded by Silurians, which is why he's so very easy to tap into. Foul mind-eater.
Vaughn growls a low warning, but when I reach up, he drops his enormous muzzle against my hand.
The greater the distance, the more of a strain it is for me to keep them tied to me. It's why you were able to free your Draconi from my grip so easily.
I smile, because we both know that he tried to snag Vaughn just a short time ago and failed. Get to the point.
The mind that has touched mine from the other side is like nothing I have felt before.
He rubs his brow, as if it aches even now to think about it.
It is beyond strong and powerful, and it does not think like humans or Draconi, or even Silurians. And even from this great a distance, it is staggeringly strong. If it gets here, it could destroy what is left of this world. The Draconi are already fragile in mind. If whatever has been reaching out to me crashes through that gate into this world, it could turn them into gibbering, mindless corpses.
I feel a sick clench in my gut. But the Draconi who've been turned back...
The ones with mates, you ask? So selfless. Willing to sacrifice the rest of the world as long as she gets her man.
Azar's mouth twists in a smirk as he picks up Melina's glass of water and drinks from it. I glare at him because that comment hit far closer to the mark than I wanted it to. It was just a question. Melina looks grave. I know it sounds crazy, but I've felt these things in my head too, through him. They're like demons or something, or just one big demon, I don't know. All I know is that if it comes through, I think we're all fucked. I don't think anyone's going to last for long. We need to be ready to attack it, or we need to figure out how to close the gate. Close the gate? I shake my head, incredulous. We don't even know how they freaking opened it. No one does, or they wouldn't have done it. How the hell are we supposed to close it? That's the problem, she says, and her worried expression matches mine. And that's why we need to be ready if something comes through. Because until we figure out how we, or if we even can close it, we're all vulnerable. My mouth goes completely dry.
I will protect you, love. Nothing will harm you as long as I am breathing.
Yeah, but that's part of the thing I'm worried about, I tell him. If what they're saying is true...
Salorians lie to please themselves.
I know, I believe you. But this one's scared, too. And he took a mate, which you say they never do. And what if he's not wrong? What if we're going to be sitting ducks out here for whatever monsters lurking on the other side? When? I ask, because I feel like I have to say something. Melina looks over at Azar again. We don't know for sure. It could be tomorrow. It could be 10 years from now. We don't know for sure, but Azar feels it might be soon. And we should work together, just in case. I shake my head. I'm still not entirely sure what my role is here, or Vaughn's. What do you need from us? Melina speaks. Truce. Salorians and Dragon Riders both. I know there's got to be several of you by now. We hear the rumors. We see the riders pass over from time to time. She touches Azar's arm as if prompting him.
Truce.
He agrees sourly.
We will both work together to defeat this menace, and then retreat to our respective lairs and live out the rest of our days in human squalor.
He gives me another thin-lipped smile.
Or go back through the portal to our own worlds, if we can. I still like that idea best.
You're not sending a dragon to the fucking rift, Azar. Melina pushes his hand away and her expression becomes brittle. Remote. We've talked about this. He just sighs and shakes his head slightly.
Imagine having a toolbox and not being able to use all your tools to their fullest capacity.
Melina gets up and leaves, storming away in a flutter of yellow sundress. Azar remains behind, his expression distant and cold.
My mate feels we should all work together to take on this threat. Sometimes we do not see eye to eye.
He takes another drink, frowning.
But we still want the truce. I do not want to waste resources fighting your little friends, when I could be preparing for whatever is going to be coming through.
Because you're already stretched too thin, I guess. And his silence tells me everything I need to know. You're having trouble keeping hold of all the playing pieces you have right now, so you're being forced to seek outside assistance to cover your ass. Azar remains silent, glaring daggers in my direction. After a long moment, he says,
One does what one must to survive. I am sure you understand such things.
Oh, I do. I learned the hard way that it doesn't make it right, though.
Are you interested in a truce or not?
Are we?
I will follow your lead, my mate. You know your people better than I do. I have no wish to save any of them, but I know you feel differently.
I keep my expression carefully blank, though it's not easy. What if he's right? What if something world-ending is about to come through that portal? It could be the truth.
Or it could be a lie.
I know. I pretend to consider things and tilt my head back. In the distance, I catch the gleam of scales of one of Azar's captive dragons. But if we can do something to help these guys, and help Melina get free of him, I want to do that. No one should be forced to serve this asshole. I can't leave her here with him.
Because she reminds you of your sister.
Melina's older, of course. But I see the same helplessness in her expression that I saw in Dee's when she had to leave with the Brothers of Ash. It's the slow death of hope, and it tears at me. Yeah, that's part of it. The dragons are equally important, though, because that could be you up there.
Never. Not with my mate at my side. Your thoughts anchor me. But I will support you in this. We will do our best to save them and bring them back to the others with us.
Thank you, Vaughn. I love you so much. I focus on Azar after sending another wave of gratitude and love toward my dragon. You want us to work with you? You have to make a few concessions. Azar drums his fingers on the table.
Go on.
You want our help, right? I assume that means no attacks on Fort Dallas, and we agree to let each other live in peace.
Correct. Since your friends do not wish for me to contact our dragons in any way, I would assume that one of you would live here in Fort Dallas and act as a go-between for as long as this threat plagues us both.
What he says makes sense, unfortunately. And you won't try to take over whoever stays behind?
I would not.
He watches me and adds,
Before you think to ask, I will not release the dragons I have a hold of now either.
I suspected that much. Of course, it doesn't mean that we can't work on getting them free anyhow, as safely as possible. If we just so happen to find their mates and free them, well, there's not much Azar can do. And if someone's here in the city, they can work on that directly instead of from afar. No new dragons, then.
Agreed.
He says swiftly.
You are right. He cannot control much more.
Vaughn says, his thoughts full of wonder.
That is why he agrees so quickly. If he takes on too many, he risks losing control of all of them.
Interesting. I'm going to press the advantage, then. If we send someone to stay, you have to let Melina go. Azar's expression grows thunderous, and I can practically feel his rage bleeding into the air.
Never.
You can't keep a woman captive and expect us to work with you. I can't do anything about the dragons, but I can do something about the woman. At least for starters. His eyes narrow and his shoulders are so tense that he looks as if he could snap. He gets to his feet slowly, hands pressing on the tabletop.
She belongs to me. This is not up for discussion.
No deal. Furious, Azar grabs the table and flips it over, sending the crystal glasses to the ground. They shatter in a million pieces and fruit rolls all over the place. Such a waste.
She is mine!
He bares his teeth, and for a moment, I see the dragon in him, the side he claims he doesn't have. Bullshit.
He will not let her go, any more than I would let you go.
But if she's miserable, I can't leave her here. I can't. I think of Dee, and my stomach clenches sickeningly. If I can help her, I have to. Overhead, the dragons bugle with rage, and I hear distant screams. Is he losing his control? Before I can say anything else, the door opens and Melina comes out, her expression worried. She flicks her gaze over us, then moves to Azar's side, and I see sadness and concern there as she reaches out to touch his arm. Azar, she murmurs. Calm yourself. I'm here. I'm not going anywhere. He puts a hand out, and when she slips her fingers into his, he grips them tightly, his head down, body strained. The dragon's quiet, and Melina looks over at us again. I heard your question. I know it may not look like it, but I'm here of my own free will. Her hand lightly caresses Azar's, and I won't leave his side. Even though he's evil? I can't help but ask. Melina's smile is small and sad, even as she continues to touch Azar's fingers, tracing them over and over again with her own. Your dragon was one of those that destroyed this world. Is he without redemption? That was different. He was mindless with rage and madness. He's not like that anymore. You're shacking up with a Silurian. Melina only smiles again. I can't tell if she's being a martyr or if she genuinely cares for him, or if she's being mind-controlled as well. Either way, I hate that she's choosing to stay.
We can help her if we are here,
Vaughn tells me.
We can help all of them.
It sounds like you want us to be the go-between. I'm surprised that he's so readily volunteering us. But then again, I've been thinking the same thing. In my mind, it's always been us.
I feel the same. The others will not risk their mates.
I don't want to risk mine, I retort. Vaughn rumbles, and I can feel the amusement roll through him.
You are not risking me. Has he not tried to infect me 3 times now, and 3 times you have pushed him aside? We are perhaps the only ones safe from his attempts. Who better than us to determine if what he says is truth? If it is, then we are needed. If it is not, we are still needed but to help the others break free from his control.
And what about you and me? Can you live here in this fort, or will it tear you apart?
I have been here today, and it is not so bad. It smells. But I focus on you. We will demand a nest as far away from the others as we can. And when it grows to be too much, we will